The Maker's House Chapel International presents Destiny Word with Dr. Michael Bwedinyamite. God has destined for each and every one of us to live a life of purpose, a life of abundance, and a life that pleases Him. Dr. Michael Bwedinyamite's mandate is clear. He's equipped to raise destiny giants for our time, equipped with the wisdom and anointing for a time such as now. Please stay tuned in to Destiny Word.
Amen. Did you come with your Bibles? Please lift it up and say, "This is my Bible. It is the Word of God. I will become what it says I can become. I will go where it says I can go. I will achieve what it says I can achieve." Will you slap your chest and say, "I am a believer"? Come on, do it if you mean it. Say, "I am a believer." Amen. If the Bible is yours, could you please turn to the book of St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 17. St. Matthew's Gospel, Matthew 17. St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 17. This is the first book of the New Testament, in case you are flipping through the old. St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 17. If you're able to find it, you can say amen. Those of you who want to read from the screen too, you'll find. It's in Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 17. It's in Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 17. I read from the verse number 24. "And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, 'Does not your master pay tribute or taxes?' He said, 'Yes.' Without him knowing, he even responded in the affirmative. And when he was coming to the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, 'What do you think, Simon? Or what thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers?' Peter said unto him, 'Of strangers.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Then are the children free. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast an hook and take up the fish that first come up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and you.'" Let me repeat. "Notwithstanding that we should offend them, go to the sea and cast an hook and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and for thee." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we know the grass will wither, the flower will fade, but obviously your word will abide forever. We pray that you give us a word that works, O God. Anoint these lips of clay, make it an instrument of a blessing to somebody's life. At the end of the day, O God, after your visitation, after you've shown yourself strong to us, we will look around and not hesitate to give you praise. The name of the one who rules, reigns, and has regency, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. Before you take your seats, I want you to look for three people and tell them, expect breakthroughs from unlikely sources. Come on, look at somebody and say, expect breakthroughs from unlikely sources. Can I get you to look for three people that you've never even seen in church before? Never spoken to them. I want you to be neighborly. I want you to look for somebody and tell them, in 2017, expect breakthroughs from unlikely sources. 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 The whole pages of the Old Testament, if you flip through the pages of the Old Testament, you'll come across pages upon pages upon pages of God's promises. What makes God God is his ability to promise and deliver on his promises. His divineness, his godness, his authority, sovereignty, power, and dominion on earth is seen through, if you go through the vestiges of the kind of things that he is able to say and what he is able to deliver. The hope of humanity is also hinged on expectations. I quite remember when I was a very young boy, and I was living in Kumasi, and a friend of mine who happened to be in my class, a classmate, the mother had told him that he was going to take him abroad. So when we go to school and we sit to learn, "Jack, why are you not reading?" "I'm about to be picked abroad." "Why are you not doing your homework?" "My mom is sending me abroad." So every time, this young man's hope was hinged on the expectation that mom was going to take him abroad. And therefore, he was not given much dedication and commitment to his academics. He was not. I quite remember the mom was coming, and this young man knew that he was going to be picked abroad. And so the young man started sharing his shoes and his clothes. He was sharing everything. When he sees you, he asks you, "Do you want my school bag? Take it, because I'm going abroad." He was sharing his school bags, he was sharing his shoes, sharing everything that he could share. I remember his math set. He came to me and asked me, "Do you want my math set?" He was bringing me his math set, knowing that he wouldn't need his math set anymore because his mom was taking him abroad. The hope of humanity is hinged on expectation. And so what we expect, obviously, and ultimately influence how we decide and the way we go about things. But when God gives you a promise, we normally will want to find out how will the promises of God come to pass. And in order for us to do that, most of the time, we hinge it on our natural expectation. Well, God said he's going to give me a man to marry, and I think that the way this man looks at me, he has an interest. And so God is saying, I am giving you a man through your lens of expectation. You look at a man and you think because he smiles with you, it means he has an interest in you. Just that the man is not mastering the courage to be able to tell you, "Honey, I love you." I know there are men that are POP people, but sometimes, you know, some men are more lazy. You know, more lazy. He won't go straight to the point. So sometimes, I quite remember, today I want to tell you my story. I quite remember when we were in Valco Hall, University of Cape Coast, first degree. There was a young man who loved a lady. You could tell his body language, his demeanor, everything about him was telling that he was interested in this young lady. And University of Cape Coast, in those days, I don't know about now, but in those days, we had a water problem. And so you go down and fetch water. You go down and fetch water. This young man will be carrying water, 2 buckets full, and running around. Every time holding 2 buckets. So one for himself, one for the damsel. Every time carrying two buckets. Building muscles unknowingly. Because he was doing it morning and evening. Every time carrying two buckets and climbing the stairs with it. And the ladies were, I remember F2 or something, and the lady would go and pick, leave it there in F2. That was the room number of the lady, I remember. Leave it there, and the guy will still climb up and ask the lady if the lady needs anything. He's going to buy food, not buy for himself alone, buy and let brotherly love continue. Buy some for this young lady. It got to a point that the young lady was probably expecting, "If you will it, say it." And this young man was not saying it. And there was another sharp boy. Oh, there are always sharp guys around. You'll be amazed how many sharp guys are.
observing and making notes and comments. So this sharp guy watched the lady and knew that this lady is actually the bone of my bones. Went to the lady and obviously proposed, and the lady gave it a thought. The young man was no longer coming to class, very depressed and frustrated, until he was approached. What is your problem? Jack, I have broken heart. What broke your heart? You couldn't say it. And that is the problem. That's humanity. Hope in this life is built on expectation. He was thinking, because I was doing A, B, C, D, I expect the lady to assume or think that this is my motive. That is the same with God. God will never do what you are expecting. He will do what you ask for. That is why the Bible says, ask and you shall receive. And so you have to get to a place where you don't assume that because God knows all things, before I say it, God will even do it. I know that is what your Bible tells you, that before you even say it, your Heavenly Father, He knows even the intents of your heart. But that is not how God works. He says that He has given you power. Everything is placed in your mouth, that whatsoever thing you shall decree here on earth shall be decreed in heaven. And so God expects talking people, not quiet people. If you really want to do certain things in this world and accomplish them, you should have the grace to say it. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. They are not supposed to be quiet about it. They are supposed to emote it. They are supposed to say it. They are supposed to verbalize and vocalize it. You are not supposed to be quiet about it. You say so. So that has been the expectation of humanity. We expect things to happen. And because of our expectations, we have hope. I know that now there are people who have a lot of hope and expectations from this new government. Why? Because they think their party is in power. So things are, some people have started even having parties. Parties from Monday through to Sunday. Why? Because they think they are now in power. Expectations. The problem then is the bridge or the rift between the promise and expectation is how they are going to come to pass. Because your mother said, I'm taking you abroad, and you started sharing it, but you forget that before you are taken abroad, you have to go through a process to get there. Probably you need to secure either citizenship or a visa or whatever it is before you get there. There is a process, and so when there is a promise, the promise gives you hope or expectations. The expectations will not come to pass because you feel it in your heart. It comes to pass because there are processes and procedures that have been put in place to ensure that what was a promise or expectation comes to pass. That has always been the issue. How are the things that God has said is going to do? Or how are the things that I believe is going to happen? How are they going to come to pass? And oftentimes, because that has been a problem, we begin to look for solutions or begin to check from likely sources. I'm going to get breakthrough because right now my brother is the minister. I'm going to get breakthrough because right now my father is the president. I'm going to get breakthrough because right now my mother is this. I'm going to get breakthrough. We look at breakthroughs from likely sources because we believe that expectations are never going to be materialized until there is a source that is potent enough to churn it out. And so obviously we know that this is the source. And because this is the source is going to bring me the miracle. This is the likely source that is going to come from. And so when I look around, I look at what is potent enough to bring me to the point of manifestation or results. I don't check what is feeble. I look at what is stronger to bring me the results. I put everything in a basket and I begin to look at what is going to happen. Now, what gives me confidence in God? The thing that does not allow me to have any tincture of condescension on divine sovereignty or God's power is because I know that for Him, when He says things, He's able to do it. But I am not Him, and so I have to be able to think, how am I going to work it out? And that is where I start preaching to you from. I'm not God. You say you know the thought that you have towards me. It's not a thought of evil, but to bring me to an expected end. But I don't know my end because I can't see it. I can only judge my end looking at my circumstances. Because at least my circumstances gives me a reason to hope or disbelieve in what or where I'm going to go. I can't see it. You see it. But if you see it and you are telling me you are going to take me there, what is going to be the process to get me there? It is my expectation that your promises will come to pass. But I am not a product out of time. I live within time. How is this thing going to happen? I've been battling with this over the past couple of days, and the Lord gave me a breakthrough. He said to me that you think like that because you are human, but my thoughts are not your thoughts. And as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. I said, God, what do you mean? He said, anytime I want to bring a breakthrough to any child of mine that I have given a promise to, if the person begins to look at the promise from likely sources, they are going to always get disappointed. Because when they are looking at left, I have already thought about the right thing to do, and I bring them even testimonies and miracles from unexpected or unlikely sources. I said, God, could you please educate me a little bit more? He said unto me that that was why when I wanted to save them boy called Moses, I could have said to them that they should build a cage or hide him in a cave, but I told them to put him in a basket and put the basket on the Nile. And when they had put him on the Nile, they thought that they were going to lose their child. They didn't know that I have prepared the daughter of Pharaoh, that this same girl that their family wants to destroy the seed that you have, that same unlikely source will protect what is yours. Sometimes what God will do to bring you a breakthrough is not from the source that is likely, but God will bring you to a place where even people that you don't expect to lend you a helping hand will be the people that will rather come around you. I pray for you in 2017 that may God bring you miracles from unlikely sources. It was this same family, the young boy that was to be killed by Pharaoh, the family of the assassins were the same people that kept him alive. What is God trying to tell us as a church? He's saying to us that his protection cannot be sought from a likely source. You could have told them that I want you to hide him in your house, put him in under the bed, put something on the mouth so that even if he cries, nobody could hear his cry. He said, no, I want you to send him to the camp of the enemy where the enemy is. Why? Because the same place they want to kill him, that is the same place I'll let them feed him. Why? Because when you lift up your eyes onto the hills, it is only God that can bring you help. May God grant you help wherever you are. May the same God who was able to bless the people of old visit and bless you too. Can I take it a little bit deeper? He said unto me that that is the same thing that I have done. Because you see, when I decided to make the young man called Joseph, I wanted to make him a prime minister. When I decided that the sun and the stars and the moon will all obey him, they will all fall before him, they will all bow before him and pay obeisance to him. This young man knew that for him to be able to get there, probably what the father was supposed to do was to tell the whole world or his siblings that this is my son, my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased, so that everybody will know that this is daddy. His darling boy. And so if we want to have favor with daddy, we should be in alignment with this man. But when God wanted to lift up this man called Joseph, he knew that Joseph was bigger than his family. He was bigger than where he was coming from. What did God have to do? God had to send him out of his comfort zone. And when God had even landed him in a place called Potiphar's house, and this man knew that it was going to be the place that he was going to shine, God still knew that no, he was bigger than Potiphar's house. And so what will God do? God will have to cause an innocent man to be in a place called a prison, and God will have to send him to the prison. Potiphar could not give a recommendation because although Potiphar was powerful, his breakthrough was not going to come from Potiphar. It was going to come from an unlikely source and through an unlikely circumstance. Some of you are in unlikely places. There are things that are not working for you, but all things shall work together for your good because you love God and you are the called according to his purpose. Can I pray for somebody real quick before I get to the text that we just read? God is about to break you through because
your breakthrough is not going to come from likely sources. Some of you are thinking it's going to come from left or right. The other day, David said, when I lift up my eyes onto the hills, from whence cometh my help? And my help cometh not from the north, the south, the east, or the west, but my help cometh from God. Some of you don't have any help. No father, no mother, no brother, no sister, no uncle, no. Nobody in the Flagstaff or Jubilee House to be able to lend you a helping hand. But the last time I checked, God is able to bless exceedingly and abundantly above all things that we can ever ask or think. Whatever thing that you are believing God for, whoever God will have to rally for you, may that breakthrough come through for you. May God grant you breakthrough from unlikely sources. Look at somebody and say, neighbor, my God is bringing me breakthrough. I don't know the source, but it's going to come to pass. I don't know who is coming into my life, but God is able to do all things. Look at somebody and say, I don't know how it's going to happen, but in 2017, God is going to cause all things to work together for my good. Can I pray for somebody real quick? May God cause all. Look at somebody and say, neighbor, my breakthrough in 2017 is from unlikely sources. Not a source that you know, not a source that you can think about. It is not going to be through lobbying, but God will bring me breakthrough from unlikely sources. Can I speak to somebody? May God bring you breath. Yes! Breakthrough, but from unlikely sources. Because when God wants to bring you a breakthrough, He does not check what you have or what you don't have. He checks what He has, not what you have. So you might not know anybody, but God knows everybody. And because I don't know anybody doesn't mean God will not bring anybody to me. Because God knows everybody, and the heart of the king is in the hands of God. And wherever He likes, He turns it. May God turn hearts for you. May God turn every heart to your advantage. Look at somebody and say, neighbor, I don't think I'm still in the maker's house. Say, neighbor, God is bringing you breakthrough from unlikely sources. Slap your chest and say, neighbor, God is bringing me breakthrough from unlikely sources. In 2017, my breakthrough will be from unlikely sources. Whatever thing that you are believing God for, even people that were not in alignment with your vision, they will begin to fall in line, because your breakthrough is coming from unlikely sources. Are you ready to receive this? Your breakthrough is coming from unlikely sources. I told you what stops me from having any tincture of the condescension. As far as God's power and sovereignty is concerned, it's because for Him, before He starts, He ends it. He starts from the beginning. We begin from the beginning. And so if I begin my beginning with a God who began the beginning at the end and began the end from the beginning, it means there is no way I can fail. Watch this. Because He began the beginning before the beginning began. In the beginning, when there was no beginning, and ended the beginning before He began it, there is no way I can end from the beginning without Him. And if I begin my beginning with Him, there is no way I can fail in my end, because my end was begun by Him even before I began. I know you are a bit confused. Let me try to explain that. Anytime God gives you a word, it means He goes ahead of you and ends the cycle before He even begins with you. And therefore the Bible says, He shall lead me beside the still waters. Why is He able to lead? Because He has been at the end, and so He knows the path better than I do. And so God, send me to a rock that is higher than I, because You know where that rock is. And so when You hold my hand, You shall lead me in the path of righteousness. I have been struggling with sin in 2014, 13, 12. Maybe that is your story. But you can tell Jesus that lead me in the path of righteousness for your name's sake. And that is what God sent me here to tell you this morning. Whatever breakthrough you require is going to be from unlikely sources. I have 7 more minutes to end up the sermon. But your breakthrough is going to come from unlikely sources. That is the story that you just read when Jesus, the Bible says that they had come to him to ask for his taxes. Jesus knew many people, and he could have just sent them that go into the house of Mary or Martha, because I've done ministry with them and they know me. They know my credibility. They know my power. They know what I can do. But go to them. Jesus could have said, go to them and ask them for money so that we could pay the taxes off, so that the tax man will not go and report us. But instead of Jesus sending Peter to somebody that he knew and had done or administered ministry power and grace to, Jesus said unto them, where we have gotten to, the people that we know don't have what it takes to bail us out. But there is something that is bigger than what you have ever seen in my ministry. Peter was thinking, what do you mean, Lord? He said, I want you to go fishing, go to the sea. Do not use a net, because the net will bring everything, including what you don't need. You see, in 2017, you are not doing any net business. I know why I'm saying that. No net business, because you see, there are many men that will come around you if you throw your net about. But if you throw a hook and a line and a sinker, you are able to get the very one that God... It is not a net business. We are not doing a net business. No net... Look at somebody and say, no net business. Oh, come on. Look at somebody and say, no net business. The net will catch everything, including things that you don't need. It will bring dirt and poisonous substances even to you. The net will bring everything. You don't need net. Nets will bring just anything. It will bring the good, the bad, and the ugly. If you throw your net as a lady, any man can be in there. But if you get a hook, a line, and a sinker, somebody and say, no net business. Jesus said unto Peter, I know you've never heard this before, but Jesus said to Peter, Peter, I don't need you to do net. You are a fisherman, you are used to your net thing. But change the method. The principle is fish catching, but the method is no longer a net. Use a hook, but throw it out. Jesus, if you are talking about money, and that is what the critics of that test say, that there is a fish they call the St. Peter's tilapia. St. Peter's tilapia, they believe, that is the fish that is able to pick substances from the waterbed or the seabed and store it in its mouth. And therefore, you can catch the St. Peter's fish and see something in the mouth of St. Peter's fish. The problem is, Jesus, how will you know that the one that I will catch will be the one, exactly the one, that is holding the money in the mouth? What Jesus was saying to Peter is, not only do I control humanity, I control everything in the world. The Bible says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell. Not only does he control humans, he also controls the fishes. And the Bible says, and when he had thrown the fish, the hook, it caught exactly that fish, open the mouth. And what they were looking for, instead of getting it from people, was hidden in an unlikely. May every breakthrough you want
in 2017, may your hook get connected to the ones that are holding the miracle that you are looking for. Can we pray as a church? Hold somebody's hand. I want us to pray. Can I terminate the sermon and continue some other time? I want us to pray. It's almost my time. I'm supposed to finish preaching every day at 8:45, max 8:50. And it's almost time. Hold somebody's hand. Your breakthrough is not going to come from a likely source. That's what the Bible says, eyes have not seen. It has never even entered into the heart of a man. What God normally prepares for his people, they are usually beyond human comprehension. You can't even think it. How would you send me to go fishing? And it is instructive. The first one that I catch, open the mouth, there is gold or money in the mouth. What Jesus is saying is that if you follow me, I reduce your labor. Because you are not supposed to catch many and explore the mouths of many. Because you obey divine instruction, it is the first that you caught. So what he's saying is that I have a labor reducing mechanism. That what you could have worked 10 years for. Can you imagine? What was the probability of getting that fish out of the many fishes? One over zillions. Because the reproductive life cycle of fishes is insane. They reproduce like crazy. And they are having many. What is the problem? That the one that you will catch will be the one that holds it. But you're saying that the first one, it means that as soon as you catch the first, because you were there for the money, don't think about the second and the third. Which means that I am reducing your work rate or workload. In 2017, that is the prayer. May God reduce your workload and bring you breakthroughs from unlikely sources. I don't know if you are ready for this. May God bring you breakthroughs from unlikely. How would you know? Because he knows the end from the beginning. Hold the hand of your neighbor. I just want you to pray that God.
Thank you for listening. We hope you've been blessed with Destiny Word by Dr. Michael Boydi Nyamiche. You are cordially invited to the Maker's House Chapel International, Kwabena, Off Point 1. Join in on any of our services, Sunday Word, first service 7 to 9 a.m., second service from 10 a.m. to 12 noon, teaching service on Wednesdays 6:30 to 8 p.m., and our flagship program, The Morning Aura, on Saturdays from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. to engage in prayer and experience the supernatural. For more information about this ministry, call 0244-221-272 or 0262-731-570. Or visit our website, www.themakershousechapel.org. We believe in the Word in totality and the light it brings our path to experience the grace to take territories and fulfill destiny. God richly bless you.